You're listening to Maine's Political Pulse. I'm Ari Snyder, joined by Maine Public's chief political correspondent, Steve Missler, and State House correspondent, Kevin Miller. Let's start with the Trump administration's continued retaliation against Maine after Governor Janet Mills told the president in February she would continue following state law that allows transgender student athletes to compete on girls' sports teams. Steve, what's the latest action from the White House over this dispute?
This week, the U.S. Department of Agriculture Secretary Brooke Rollins essentially wrote a letter to Governor Janet Mills and threatened that more of this retaliation is coming. What's interesting about the Rollins letter is just the tone of it and also, obviously, the threats that are contained in it. And I just want to read just a quick section of it because I just don't think the public has a good sense of just how extraordinary this is. It says, "Today, I am freezing Maine's federal funds for certain administrative and technological functions in schools. This is only the beginning, though you are free to end it at any time by protecting women and girls in compliance with federal law." And I just want to say that that's highly unusual for a cabinet secretary to write something like that to a sitting governor. Much less publicize it. But I think the other thing that's really important to remember here is that the Trump administration is justifying these threats and investigations by essentially asserting that Maine is violating Title IX. And that Title IX is a 1972 law that expanded education and athletic opportunities for women and girls. But the Trump administration's position on Title IX and how it affects transgender athletes is not settled. That's why the U.S. Senate tried earlier this year to clarify the law so that the president's interpretation is correct, but that bill stalled.
Steve was talking about the unusual tone of the letter. What really jumped out at me is that one line in the letter talks about how Maine must demonstrate compliance with Title IX's protection of female student athletes from, quote, having to compete with or against or having to appear unclothed before males. I'm not an attorney, but I have read through Title IX. I don't see any references in Title IX to appearing before others unclothed. So again, this really goes to the Trump administration's interpretation of Title IX, but ultimately it's going to come down to the courts.
And I understand it's not just the U.S. Department of Agriculture that's taking aim at Maine right now. Steve, can you tell us about the comments from the acting administrator of the Social Security Administration that recently came to light?
So this goes back, Ari, to that whole dust-up that was pretty brief, just a few days back in March, where the Social Security Administration notified the state that it was canceling two contracts, one that allows Maine parents to register their newborns for Social Security cards at the hospital, as opposed to, you know, going to a Social Security office. And 99% of Maine parents take advantage of that program. And then the other contract was one that would allow families to report the death of loved ones to funeral homes. That contract was also canceled without explanation. What we've learned since then, and both of those contracts have been reinstated, is that the acting Social Security Administrator, Will Dudick, canceled those contracts because he was angry with how Governor Mills spoke to Trump during that infamous confrontation at the White House on February 21st. But this week, emails obtained by Democrats on the House Committee on Oversight and Government Reform added further detail about Dudick's motivation. And also, and this I think is maybe even more important, is that he was warned by his own staff that canceling those contracts would risk improper payments and potentially identity theft for people in Maine. Despite that warning, Dudick ordered staff to cancel the contracts, telling them in an email that while improper payments will go up and fraudsters may compromise identities, no money will go from the public trust to a petulant child. That's him talking about Governor Mills. So Dudick is on the hot seat right now, and there's been a lot of calls for him to resign, including from U.S. Representative Shelley Pingree and Representative Gerald Conley, who's the lead Democrat on the Oversight Committee. But Conley also wants to talk to Dudick even further. He's asked him to sit down for an interview, but either before or after he resigns, which I'm not quite clear if that's going to happen.
Moving on now to tariffs. Canada was largely spared from this latest round of import taxes that have sent stock markets nosediving across the world. Kevin, can you give us a quick overview of what Trump announced regarding tariffs on Canada and why that matters to Maine?
Sure. So with regards to Canada, there was a lot of concern about what he was going to do. But basically what he decided is we're keeping the status quo for right now. You'll remember that Trump announced a whole series of tariffs on Canada last month, then quickly rescinded those. That's still in place. The biggest exception here is that Trump imposed a 25% tariff on all imports of cars and car parts. And that's a big deal, of course, for American automobile manufacturers. But you asked why this matters to Maine. Canada is our biggest trading partner by far. So there were a lot of concerns about if he levied new taxes on, say, energy or electricity or lumber or fisheries, that those would have a major impact on Maine's economy. Those have been put on hold for right now, but there was a lot of reassurance that this was at least not as bad as it could be. And I actually talked to Patrick Woodcock, who is the president of the Maine State Chamber of Commerce this morning, and he had an interesting take on kind of this, what he calls a de-escalation of tariffs with Canada, but this escalation of tariffs across the globe and how that could impact Maine.
Although Maine clearly had a specific and continues to have a specific exposure to trade policies with Canada, we really would be swept away with any recession nationally or globally. And I think that's where everybody is racing to see the clarity of the long-term plan from the Trump administration.
Overall, it was basically a maintenance of the status quo right now with regards to Canada, but still concerned about what might be coming around the next corner.
And to that point, many elected officials in Maine have made dire warnings about what a trade war with Canada could mean for the state's economy. But Congressman Jared Golden has staked out a different position. Kevin, what is he saying?
Yeah, Congressman Golden is unique in this respect because he is actually pro-tariff. He and Trump are on the same page in a lot of these issues because he feels like all the trade deals that we've had have basically deteriorated Maine and the national manufacturing base. And Representative Golden says tariffs can be used to help rebalance that. He referred to what Trump did this week as a, quote, first step in rewriting a rigged trade system. Now, I think what's important to point out here is what Representative Golden says is if you're going to impose these tariffs, any tariff revenue has to be reinvested into Maine and to the national manufacturing base. You can't just take this money and put it into paying for tax cuts. It's unclear what Trump is going to do. He says that he wants to do that, but we've yet to see any concrete plans for how the tariff revenue will be used. But it was interesting that, you know, not only is Jared Golden out of step with the other members of Maine's congressional delegation and with the governor, he's out of step with I'd say, most Democrats in this respect. And the White House really picked up on this because they sent out an email and posted on their website yesterday this kind of listing of what people are saying about his tariffs plan. And Jared Golden was the very first person that they highlighted.
Kevin mentioned that, you know, there's some concern that, you know, these import taxes, that's what tariffs are, how they might even be used and if they're actually going to be redistributed to contribute to their stated goal, which is, you know, rebuilding manufacturing. We haven't heard anything about that. But in Canada, that's exactly what they're doing. They're taking whatever they get from import taxes that are in retaliation for the United States import taxes and either using that money to help their citizens get through what's going to be a pretty rough time with high prices and in further inflation, and also to rejigger the Canadian economy. I mean, Prime Minister Mark Carney had a pretty interesting speech last week where he essentially said that this, you know, decades-long integration of our two economies is over. And, you know, the United States position as the leader in the global economy may be over as well. And I think, you know, Canadians are taking this very, very seriously. We've talked about that quite a bit. And I think they're just going to start repurposing their investment and looking elsewhere, potentially with the European Union.
And that was Maine Public's chief political correspondent, Steve Missler, and State House correspondent, Kevin Miller. Thanks for joining us for Maine's Political Pulse. You can also read the Political Pulse newsletter. Find it online at mainepublic.org/pulse. Our music is by Rob Holt. I'm Ari Snyder. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you again soon on Maine's Political Pulse.